Righto, from Shaw and Partners, Andrew Kelleher. Morning.
Yeah, morning, Mike.
Not surprisingly, consumer confidence is not what it was.
No, so what are we, 2.5 weeks into the Middle East conflict that we hadn't expected and at the moment has an uncertain duration? Yesterday we got, I would call it, a timely lens into whether or not the conflict has affected consumer sentiment here in New Zealand. Yeah, you're right, the answer is maybe a little bit. Westpac McDermott Miller Consumer Confidence Index, it has fallen, but you know, it's not fallen by very much. It's fallen 1.8 points from 96.5 to 94.7, and sort of explain the number, a level below 100 indicates there are more people who are pessimistic about economic conditions than those who are optimistic. So our level of pessimism deepened a little bit. The long-term average is 98.3, which suggests that we're generally pessimistic. The breakdown is insightful, though. Present conditions rose 1.8%, so the here and now, we're actually okay, but expected conditions fell 4.2 points, so it's about what's going to happen. So, you know, you've got worrying stuff happening overseas. It's hitting a key commodity. And I guess, you know, you've got this 24/7 news cycle. Unless you've got the head in the sand or under a rock, the vast majority of us are connected to global events, and it's having an impact on our forward perspective. I mean, but we've spoken about duration a number of times. It remains the key issue here. A bit of a regional breakdown. Wellington continues to be grim. Actually, we've got Wellington and Taranaki, Whanganui in the Manawatu area, they're the least confident. Is that the halo effect sort of working in reverse? But we've talked before about the big smoke getting its mojo back. And yeah, here we go. Auckland together with Gisborne, top of the consumer confidence podium. Households are feeling better about their personal finances. Finally, the lagged effect of the interest rate falls are having an impact there, just as mortgage rates start to go back up again. Discretionary spending is lifting, though. Look, it's early days in this conflict, Mike, and I think if you had a swift end to this, that confidence would bounce back. I'm just not so sure about that swift end.
Okay, and increasingly there are people like you who say that. Jay Powell, what's he going to do?
Yeah, so a couple of things happening today. Of course, we've got GDP day today. I'm going optimistic on it, Mike. I'm going 0.5. Which is at the higher end.
I don't think anyone's going. If someone's going 0.6. I can't remember who it is. I think there's an outlier 0.6, but crazy old Andrew's in there at 0.5, is he?
Yep.
Good on you.
Well, why not?
Why not?
Anyway, it's not the only thing happened today. 7 o'clock, most important central bank in the world, the Federal Reserve, addresses the policy rate in the US. Have you noticed that Trump's actions in the Middle East have sort of diverted attention away from the internal economic situation in the US, but it hasn't gone away. And these are tricky times for central bankers, and a lot of them have been on the monetary policy dais this week. It's especially tricky for the Fed because it comes after very weak jobs numbers. Remember, they have a dual mandate, so they've got to consider, but they've now got to consider the potential impact of higher oil prices. Market expectations are for no change in the Fed funds rate. But the context here, though, Mike, is that markets are increasingly pulling back from expectations of the number of expected interest rate cuts this year. There's really only one priced in now in the US. At one stage, we were thought there could have been as many as three. Oil price is the key now. So you've got, I think, that uncertainty around the duration of the conflict and the inflationary impact of a sustained high oil price will outweigh concerns around that jobs outcome. We've talked about this before, inflationary expectations. Where you think it's going to go is a very important component of where inflation actually goes. So you want to keep those inflationary expectations anchored. They did have a disinflationary trend, but it's now stalling. Your PCE inflation is higher than your CPI inflation. And as you've so very rightly pointed out, that PPI inflation, which is sort of like inflation for business, it's quite a bit higher than expected. That's printed overnight. But in this announcement at 7 o'clock, the words and the forecasts are going to be...
Is he going to take questions a half hour later or so?
I believe so tonight. Okay. I believe so, but I'd have to check that.
Keep an ear out for that. That's the only reason I'm asking. Righto, what are the numbers?
So as a result of that lift in the oil price, markets aren't too happy about that. The Dow Jones is down 418 points, 0.89%. 46,575. The S&P 500 down 0.2%, 44.6671. And the NASDAQ is down 0.8%, 182 points, 22,296. Overnight, the English lost 1% on the FTSE 100, 10,302. The Nikkei, though, had a good day, up 1,539 points, 2.8%. 55,239, a third of a percent gain on the Shanghai Composite, 4062. The Aussies also gained about the same, 26 points, 0.31, 8640. We had a very healthy day on the NZX 50 yesterday, up 1.01%, 133 points, 13,315. Kiwi dollar, though, is a little bit weaker, 0.5839 against the US dollar on the wholesale markets, 0.8250 against the Aussie, which continues to look very weak, 0.5073 euro, 0.4381 pounds, 93.13 Japanese yen. Gold has slumped a little bit, 4,881 US dollars, and Brent crude is flirting with $109.
109, yeah.
Well, it's 108.60.
Yeah, ish. All right, go well. Andrew Kelleher, Shaw and Partners.